Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice, it's championship week. The cream always rises. Must add players, strength of schedule analysis, and injury updates on Big Buff, Matt Zuccarello, and Chris Letang. Plus, Groovy Dooby Doo leading the Avs resurgence and DFS strategy for the Tuesday slate of games. It's NHL Fantasy on Ice.
What's good, everybody? Pete and Rob back with you talking fantasy pucks on this Monday afternoon. Championship week, Rob, in most leagues.
Championship week is underway. Get your moves in now. First team we've got to talk about, the cherry pick, the Colorado Avalanche. They are back. Grubauer started back-to-back games over the weekend, 1-1, lost one in OT, but really good to see the Avs back on the map.
I'm really excited about this team because I picked them to make the playoffs at the beginning of the year. They had some ups and downs. They looked like one of the most dangerous teams earlier in the year. One thing, though, to note, Mikko Rantanen, a little bit banged up, did not play in either game over the weekend, so maybe that could come to bite them here over the final 2 weeks of the season. But right now, this team is 1 point behind the Dallas Stars. They're ahead of the Arizona Coyotes, and they look to have the back-end stability that they've been seeking all year with Grubauer.
I just don't think this team's very stable, and honestly, the only reason they're even in this spot is because the Coyotes dropped three straight, so they wouldn't be in this spot otherwise. They'd still be on the outside looking in desperately, trying to get in without their captain Gabe Landeskog in the lineup. It's just not going to happen for this team. The only way they get in is if Arizona, Minnesota, if those two teams completely fall out, the Avs are going to get in on a soft ticket.
And the Coyotes over the weekend, back-to-back road losses to the Devils in shootout, and then the Islanders, they got shut out. I mean, I just don't know if that team has what it takes to win the big ones in March and early April. They haven't shown it so far.
I still wouldn't count them out. Maybe a little fluky East Coast road trip for them, but the way that Darcy Kuemper's played over the past 2 or 3 months, really encouraging. And then also Derek Stepan back in the lineup. Maybe there is a chance that they could still squeak in.
It's a shame with Kuemper. He started, what, like 17 or 18 games in a row? I mean, he's getting run into the ground. He's played at a very high level over the past few months of the season. But yeah, Kuemper, I mean, I don't know if I can trust this guy the last couple of games. I know the next three games for the Coyotes are coming against teams that they're in contention with, like the Wild and the Avalanche. They play the Avs on Friday night. That'll be a make or break one.
I'd much rather have Philip Grubauer, Groovy Dooby Doo, in my lineup for that game. I think that the only caution you have to have if you're looking at the Avs on the waiver wire right now, hottest question on Twitter today was, who am I picking up for championship week? Well, you got to look at games played. The Avs only have two this week. So maybe that deters you a little bit. They play Vegas on Wednesday, Arizona, like we said, on Friday. Those are tough matchups. If Marc-Andre Fleury's back in net for the Knights on Wednesday, I like the Knights heavy in that game. But that being said, I heard he didn't travel with the team, so maybe we're back in on the Avs on that one.
So Landeskog out for the time being, Rantanen possibly out for the two games this week. We'll see. Interesting to note, there are a couple of guys in their top six from JT Compher, Alexander Kerfoot, Derek Brassard. There hasn't been consistent production from any of those three so far, but still, keep an eye on them. Maybe roll them out in any single game for your season-long leagues. And I'm looking more, I like Sam Girard. I mean, not a lot is being said about this guy. He's only 20 years old. He's playing big minutes. He's a plus player on the season, and he's chipping in points. I mean, a lot of even strength points as well. 9 power play points on the second unit. That's not half bad.
I wouldn't pick up any one of those forwards, but I would pick up Girard. That's the only position of value right now on the Avalanche. You can cherry pick a defenseman, whether it's Girard, who, by the way, Girard could springboard for them next season and be that top power play quarterback over Tyson Barry. So maybe we're going to see shades of this now heading into the postseason. But yeah, that Avs team, I'm just not sold. Again, like I said, if they even do get a run, if they make the playoffs, it's just going to be an ugly, ugly first round for them.
I mean, unless they get, Landeskog back in time, they're probably out in 4 or 5 games in the first round. That said, I think it's encouraging that if they fight through this and make the playoffs, because remember, this is a long-term team with the two lottery picks. If they miss the playoffs And either way, they're going to get Ottawa's top pick this year. So moving forward, there's a lot to like about the Avalanche. There's a lot to like about their resiliency here over the past couple of weeks.
I agree. This is a long-term situation for them. Let's get to some other notes here, though. Dustin Byfuglien, I saw him skating at practice today. He looked good. He did have a non-contact sweater on, though, so maybe we're looking later in the week for him, but still, this Jets team, I think they're the favorite in the West, just the style they play. With Dustin Byfuglien back in the lineup, this team has a new dimension.
Well, you've been around me long enough. You know Dustin Byfuglien's one of my favorite players. I think he's got 29 points in 32 games. So as a defenseman, that's rare company, especially with the elite category coverage. So hopefully you held on to this guy, activate him now. Sounds like he could play as soon as this week and maybe make a big difference for you in your championship week, which would be, it's really all you sign up for, especially when a guy's been banged up as much as he has. You hope he's healthy at the right time to get you over the top, more than capable of that.
Even if you made the playoffs as an 8 seed in your fantasy league, I mean, if you get Dustin Byfuglien back, you're going to be playing like a 1st seed, and you're probably going to win your championship if you're still in this thing.
No. What's going on with this Chris Letang situation, though? Because that's the opposite of the Byfuglien thing.
I'm not. So this one, to me, I was reading in on this today. So he's going to miss their game against the Rangers Monday night. But the problem is, a reporter asked Coach Sullivan if it's the same upper body injury as a couple weeks ago, and Sullivan wouldn't comment. So if you don't comment, obviously, it's like plead the fifth. You're obviously guilty. It's the same injury. So Letang, with player with his injury history right now in championship week, you got to make a move. You cannot wait for this. I did that a couple weeks ago. Erik Gustafsson was available in one of our – we were in that league together, Pete. Right. He was available. I made the switch, did it, never looked back. Now I'm still in the playoffs. I think I'm fighting for the bronze medal in one of our leagues. But Erik Gustafsson, get him in the lineup. Sam Girard, get him in the lineup. Get any guy that's available on the waiver wire in, because you cannot risk setting your lineup and having Letang not play.
Now, I saw as of Monday morning, that Thomas Chabot was one of the most added players in season-long leagues on the Monday before the two-week championship week. That's a little puzzling for me. I know he had an assist on the power play in his return to the lineup on Saturday for Ottawa. He's playing with Dylan DeMello, who's also worth consideration. That said, I would rather stake my claim on a Sam Girard or someone on a competitive team who you know is going to play all these games down the stretch, rather than a Chabot who's been down in the dumps before his injury and just doesn't really have much appeal to me. What do you think?
I mean, look, I was on the waiver wire earlier. I saw a couple names. Chabot's name was there, I think, because of his minus rating. The guy that was also there, Rasmus Ristolainen, with a -42 on the season. Really hard to even wrap your head around that. Truly puzzling that could even happen, that you could be on that the ice for that many goals against. But nonetheless, Chabot, probably not a player I'd pick up. Like you said, the Ottawa Senators, not any appeal there for the remainder of the season. I don't care if you're trying to be contrarian or not. That's just a team that you wouldn't go near.
Buffalo's tough because they really don't have many options. Skinner has like one goal in his past like 10-plus games. Sam Reinhart's off the top line. Ristolainen, like you mentioned, the plus-minus just gets worse and worse almost every day, so you don't want to touch him. That said, we both really like Alex Nylander. He has 5 games this week, counting Monday, so even 4 if you pick him up right now for Tuesday's game for Buffalo. So, and he's been producing. He's on the Eichel line. That's all you really need to know.
He's on the Eichel line. He looks good. He's producing now. 2 goals back-to-back games, really encouraging there. I think anybody playing with Jack Eichel is worth picking up in fantasy, and the games sells it for me. I actually picked up Linus Ullmark and Carter Hutton, the patented strategy from goalie master Dave Satriano. I'm riding that thing out, and as he told me earlier today, you have to get a little crazy at this time of the year in fantasy. So, Dave, we will see if that pays off. A player, though, I do want to ask about Matt Zuccarello for the Dallas Stars. I saw that he's getting close to returning. He's traveling on the road trip. Is that a player you have to own if he's out there?
Absolutely. I think he could make a big difference for that team. I was digging a little deeper into that team. They have the best team save percentage at 5-on-5 this season. I think they're 2nd best overall behind the Islanders. And you look at their shooting percentage as an offense, I think they're tied for 2nd worst. So he can help improve the shooting percentage. He's a playmaker. He can set up the Jamie Benns and the Tyler Sagans at even strength on the power play. Radulov, he doesn't need to play with both of them, just needs to play with one of them, and he's going to get more out of whichever one he plays with. That is a dangerous, dangerous team come playoff time. I don't care if they play the Predators, who I don't really like right now, or the Jets, who look much better lately, but I still worry about them. I think that that team, Dallas, could give either one of those teams fits in the first round.
They're scheduled this week at Winnipeg, at Calgary, at Edmonton, at Vancouver. Does that change your mind?
It's a tough road trip for Dallas. I mean, and the one thing is they're not home free, but I like that from the urgency standpoint for fantasy. I mean, you know that these guys are going to bring it heart and soul on the line. They know. I mean, if you lose three of those four games, you are in dire straits come next week, and then anything can happen. They've gotten the strong goaltending. I think the offense steps it up here. I really like what I've seen from Sagan. That shot volume lately, he's been scoring goals. He had the four assist game. Really like that team. I think they survive this trip and punch their ticket come next Monday.
One other player to keep an eye on, Marcus Johansson for the Boston Bruins, returning from a lung contusion, might play Monday. He's a game time decision. Either way, expect to see him back in the lineup sometime this week. Is that a player you'd take a flyer on, or is Boston just too top heavy for you to even go near that?
I think Krejci needs a lift. I think DeBrusk needs a lift. I mean, these guys have not been producing over their past four games since DeBrusk came back into the lineup. So I do like him. I've liked him all along, back to when he was on that hot streak with the Devils before his trade to Boston. I'm very high on this Boston team. I think that he can contribute, and they need him to contribute in this final stretch of the season. He's probably going to play on Monday, I think. He was in the projected lineup, so hopefully he does, and I think that Boston is setting themselves up. They're setting themselves up here for a really nice run at the Stanley Cup if they're healthy at the right time. They need Johansson in the lineup to win the Stanley Cup.
That could be a little X-factor play for them, and I do like Johansson. I would probably go out and add him, too, if you need a forward, especially at the left wing, valuable position at this time of the year. Really depends, I think, on that lineup placement. If he does slot right back in with Krejci, good. Don't even think about him. Get him in the lineup, slam dunk play. If he's on the third line, though, with Charlie Coyle, that's probably something I wouldn't touch just because I want that power play one exposure or top six exposure in Boston.
I want to see the wrinkle of him on the first power play unit. I know we talked about it after the trade. That was what I was most excited about for Marcus Johansson's standpoint because of what he did years ago with the Capitals with Ovi and Backstrom when he was on that first unit. Was very productive. So yeah, that's what I'm most intrigued about with Marcus Johansson. And he's kind of the similar impact potentially. I mean, even more so because Dallas, I mean, even if Zuccarello comes back, plays well, that team might not get out of the first round, probably won't. But Boston, if he comes, he could be the final piece to the puzzle for them if he makes a power play impact.
I will say everyone and their mother and her mother is talking about the Boston Bruins or the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're going to face off Monday night. All eyes are going to be on that game. But I think what a lot of people, and myself included at times, forget about, Frederik Andersen for the Toronto Maple Leafs, he could shut down an entire series versus the best team in the NHL. So let's take that Toronto-Boston matchup. If Freddie Andersen gets hot, I'd much rather have him in the net than Tuukka Rask. That's just my personal preference. The way that Freddie Andersen can shut down a game could lead to a four-win series and move on to the second round. And I think that people right now, they're way too high. This Boston team's great. Nothing to take away from them, but they're so high on Boston, so high on Tampa, that you forget that Toronto has John Tavares, that Toronto has Jake Muzzin on the back end now, that Morgan Rielly is having a Norris caliber season. You can't just take this team and say, okay, Boston's in the second round now. So I just want to caution everybody out there that's so high on Boston. Just as easily, I could see Toronto winning that series.
I really like Frederik Andersen. I've said it from when he was with the Ducks to the previous couple of years. He's a good enough goalie to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, he doesn't have the support in front of him this year, or certainly hasn't in previous years, but I do like him to potentially steal a series. That worries me from Boston's standpoint. But yeah, Frederik Andersen is Toronto's MVP for the season. When the defense has gone off a cliff, he's held them into contention most of the time, and they're still a top five, top six team in the entire NHL with all their problems, which shows how high their floor is really for fantasy and reality.
and Jake Gardner has resumed skating too, he could return by the end of the regular season. That would be a huge lift. I think just confidence alone, getting the puck out in the back end, moving that up the ice. Last thing we should touch on, Sharks. Are you concerned? They're kind of going off the cliff.
Very concerned. Five-game losing streak, longest of the season. Erik Karlsson still not even practicing or skating. I mean, we're 2 weeks away from the big game one, probably against the Vegas Golden Knights. What is this team going to do? I mean, we were talking about it earlier when we first came in this morning. He is the one player that can take the team on his back and change the course of the Sharks, because mm-hmm. the Sharks have not shown us the consistency to ever make you think that they could win four series in a row. I mean, they just haven't, right, over a three-month span. This has been such a wildly inconsistent team. But if he's saving it for the playoffs, there is something that they have to show for themselves here, a sneaky threat that they have for Erik Karlsson.
It worries me, though, that he's saving what might be 75% of the real Erik Karlsson because of all the injuries, yeah. the serious injuries that we've seen in the past three or four seasons with him now. I just don't trust that, and I am an Erik Karlsson fantasy owner. I have yet to drop him, even in my Roto League that ends in the regular season, so I don't know what I'm doing there, but I think it's just that name value alone. It still has so much intrigue that despite the injuries, despite missing a lot of time this season, you still have that allure to his name where he can put the team on his back, a la Ottawa Senators in 2016-17, made that phenomenal run. So, yes, that is the total driver of that team, but their forwards a little bit concerning, too. We've seen Timo Meier, who had a great year. He's been inconsistent lately. Gus Nyquist, now I looked back at that at the deadline. I wasn't sure of that at the time. I'm still not sure of that now. He's an inconsistent winger as well. Joe Thornton is the glue guy there. He's got to be the one that says the veteran presence, get big goal, big game situation, big assist, whatever it is. It's got to be Joe Thornton, because Joe Pavelski right now, he's out. Logan Couture right now, he cannot take that next step in his game. He's never been able to do it. He's a complimentary player. Joe Thornton's got to be the guy you look at to depend on the Sharks team.
That's not a good sign. He's 40 years old. It's really not what you want to hinge your I mean, this is the season for the San Jose Sharks, and if you're relying so heavily on Joe Thornton, hate to break it to you, it's probably not going to work out in April or May, let alone June. So we'll see how things materialize for the Sharks here. Pavelski's still out of the lineup. That's a big concern, and he's in a contract year. All these guys are in contract years. Thornton will probably, you know, hang up his skates before he leaves the Sharks. We don't worry about that. But with Pavelski, UFA, Nyquist, UFA, Erik Karlsson, UFA, I mean, it's now or never for this team.
And we haven't even mentioned Martin Jones, who, from a fantasy standpoint, as far as I'm concerned, he's been completely unacceptable this season, playing below a .900 save percentage on a top five offense in the National Hockey League, a defense on paper that really has no holes in it, a forward group that plays 200 feet. Every one of those guys plays the right way. And you're telling me that Martin Jones has below a .900 save percentage in the regular season, playing on that team in that division? Unbelievable.
He turned it on in the 2016 playoffs and was a big reason that the Sharks got to the final that year and lost to Pittsburgh. But yeah, Martin Jones has been an utter disaster this season. They suppress shots really nicely, so he faces, you know, 25 to 28 shots a game. I think the Sharks are either fewest shots per game on average or second fewest right now. So that's not the problem. But if you're facing 25 shots a game and you're allowing two or three goals, you're not going to win. Almost every night, you're not going to win. So it's been a marvel that he's even put together some of these winning streaks with all their injuries and his inconsistent play. But I think that's more of a credit to the team rather than Martin Jones. Martin Jones has had three shutouts this year. Other than those games, has been an enormous disappointment.
If you have him in week to week, you're going to get the W's, but you're going to lose save percentage in GAA. So I don't know if the one winning one category can offset two. I just don't think it can, unless you have a stalwart like Ben Bishop, you know, that's going to get the save percentage in the GAA down for you. I don't know if you can put Martin Jones in your championship lineup.
I mean, think about the teams that are still winning and still alive in fantasy. I bet you less than 5% of them have Martin Jones.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. That's
facts. He hasn't been good enough. I had him in one of my leagues. It didn't end well.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Martin Jones, A lot of room for improvement, but the clock's ticking on his season. So Marc-Andre Fleury had a baby, has been injured. Is he coming back soon? I mean, Malcolm Subban for now has fared pretty well for Vegas. What do you think about that situation?
Yeah,
so
he's going to be back soon. Coach Gallant said the other day he's fine. I think they're just waiting to get him back. There's not. I think they're 5 points behind San Jose entering Monday. So to make up that ground and get home ice, I just don't see the appeal of that. I'm kind of like a who cares about home ice guy anyway. So I think they're going to wait, but it's good to see him at least being healthy. Yeah, you mentioned the baby. Congrats on that one. But no, in all seriousness, I do think he will be back this week. And for fantasy owners, if you're planning ahead, you might want to get Malcolm Subban off the roster and maybe get a guy like Grubauer or Peter Mrazek or Curtis McElhinney on your roster.
So you would go McElhinney over Malcolm Subban. That's an interesting one.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, I'm not in this predicament where I have to use the goalie carousel here, but if I was, I think I'd go and pull the trigger on an aggressive move like getting McElhinney. I look at their schedule and I am worried. They play Washington twice this week. That doesn't jump out as a good matchup to me for goalies, but it's at this point in the year where I'd rather get two games out of Mrazek and McElhinney than I'd get one game out of Subban. So that would be like the deciding factor for me would be games played, and I'd have to give the edge to Carolina there.
Well, Vegas is so deep offensively. Like right now they have Max Pacioretty's banged up. He's day-to-day. We'll see. He's been in and out of the lineup all season, let's be honest. So, but they have Alex Tuch in the fold. They've elevated him already. Very dominant offense. The top line has looked like the top line from last year lately with Marchessault, Carlson, and Riley Smith. I mean, if you're in the championship right now, you can make a donation probably to write Riley Smith's charity or something. He probably got you there. So that is that was a big surprise because that line was so underwhelming all season long, and Riley Smith has been one of the biggest performers, better than a point per game over his past 15, 20 games.
And some of the goals he's been scoring are absolute highlight reel worthy goals. Very, very nice stuff. But just to go back to Carolina for 1 second, they do play the Caps twice this week. But the good news is they also play the Flyers Saturday, an afternoon game, and then they have another game against the Penguins Sunday. So you could potentially get, you would get four goalie starts out of that tandem. I know the matchups don't jump out on paper as great games for goalies. That being said, this Carolina team, they've got swagger. I don't care what you think about their celebrations at the end of the game. Watch them play 60 minutes. Look at Andrei Svechnikov in the last 5 games. Look at Jordan Staal in the last 5 games. That is a fun team to watch. I'd put those goalies out there in front of that great team.
Svechnikov, 7 points in his past 7 games, finishing strong, even though he's played most of the season in the bottom six. Rookie, right? 18, 19. I think he's about to turn 19. 20 goals. That is a great sign moving forward because he's going to be in the top six probably from this point till the end of his career. So that's a great sign because a lot of us dropped Svechnikov earlier in the year, even though we took him maybe in the 11th or 12th round as a potential rookie sleeper. But yeah, you're seeing all the signs now. That's going to be a dangerous line come playoff time with Jordan Staal's experience.
And Svechnikov, he's got all the tools. He can be as good as he wants to be. 3 must-add players I'll give you for championship week. I'll kick it off with Kevin Hayes, center only for the Winnipeg Jets. He's 28% owned. The good news is he's skating with Kyle Connor. He assists on every single goal of Kyle Connor's over the weekend. He had a hat trick, so that was 3 apples for Hayes there. And he's also skating with underwhelming Patrick Laine. That being said, you never know. It takes one game for him to go off. So Kevin Hayes, first on my list. Second guy, Brett Connolly, left wing, right wing, Washington Capitals. Career highs in just about everything for him this season. Can't miss there. And then a third name as a sleeper I'll throw out, Alexander Nylander, Buffalo Sabres, left wing, right wing, 2% owned, skating with Jack Eichel, and you also get 4 games from him this week.
So excluding Monday, still 4 games for Buffalo and Alex Nylander. And the other thing that's on their side, easiest remaining schedule for the Buffalo Sabres. So maybe throw out the last couple of months of the season. Hopefully Nylander delivers for you. Maybe you get a couple of goalie wins, and the Sabres could be a major player here at the tail end of the fantasy season. I mentioned I like Svechnikov. I really like Dustin Brown for his category coverage on the waiver wire. Has been producing at a very high level all season through their ups and downs. I mean, Ilya Kovalchuk right now is a healthy scratch, 2 of his past 3 games, and Dustin Brown is playing out of his mind. I mean, that says it all in terms of the attitude and the leadership on that team. It's coming from Dustin Brown. It's not coming from Ilya Kovalchuk.
That's right. And it was really crazy to see Ilya Kovalchuk in the healthy scratch box over the weekend. I doubt he was too happy about that, just knowing that caliber of player. But one little Kings storyline here, there's not many, but one here, good nugget for their game Monday against the Flames. I just want to read you a Drew Doughty quote that just popped up on Twitter. Drew Doughty said, regarding Matthew Tkachuk, "No respect for him, none. I respect everyone else in the league. I'll never talk to him off the ice. He's not respected by most people in the league. It's just not me. That's just a fact." So I love how Doughty's now speaking for everyone. He represents the whole league here, speaking on behalf of everyone. But good little storyline for the Kings, and I do think there's sneaky value there for that team to play out the end of the season. Might bring a little bit of edge, starting with their game on Monday night against Calgary.
Yeah, I mean, other than Brown, I don't really trust anybody on that team. I think we cut the cord on Kopitar long ago. That's ancient history right now. So, yeah, Dustin Brown, I would trust him. I also like, from sticking in Southern California, I really like Jacob Silverberg, and we were talking about him last show. Since the contract extension has been money, he continues to be the money maker if you picked him up in your fantasy league. The Ducks are showing a bit of a pulse here, and he has been the driving force. Even with, I know Ryan Getzlaff is banged up right now. He missed the last game day-to-day. The chemistry has been there with Raquel and Silverberg for a few weeks now, and I really like it.
It has, but Dave Satriano asked me this morning who had the leading scorer of a team with the lowest amount of points. It's unfortunately Ryan Getzlaff with 47. That leads the Anaheim Ducks. I just can't imagine that anybody had a good time at a Ducks game this season with that kind of stat line. I will say, though.
True, right?
One thing to be for, so fantasy owners want to pay attention to this. We have the strength of schedule notes in front of us. I just want to have an air of caution to Carey Price owners. Montreal Canadiens have 6 games left, 3 at home, 3 on the road, but they now have the hardest schedule in the league. A combined winning percentage of their opponents is .628. That is intense.
That's really tough. I mean, Max Domi's playing really well. We were talking about his numbers on the season. I know Drouin had a bounce-back game over the weekend. They're getting production from Brendan Gallagher consistently. That said, I mean, look to a team like Pittsburgh. Very easy schedule. We've been talking about them all year. We were about to give up on Jared McCann. He has a 2-goal game. I still trust those Pittsburgh guys more than I trust any of the Minnesota Flyers or the, you know, Montreal Flyers. I think that those teams have a difficult road ahead and are not equipped for it. I think Pittsburgh will get by, even if, you know, with Malkin out and Letang out potentially, still trust that team a lot more.
Would you go so far as say, if you really do believe in the schedule like that, would you roll out the Hutton Allmark tandem on some nights over Carey Price, depending on the matchup?
I wouldn't go that far. I think Price gives them a chance every single night to get the W, whether the offense shows up or it doesn't show up. And right, the offense hasn't shown up very often over the past 2-3 weeks of the season, but they're still in the driver's seat for that second wild card in the Eastern Conference. Columbus got a big win on Sunday night, shutout form. Bobrovsky somehow has 7 shutouts. That's keeping this team alive right now. I couldn't believe that total when I saw it. But yeah, Columbus is in a difficult... I know they have an easy end to the season, Columbus. Mm-hmm. I think they play the Rangers and Ottawa to wrap it up, but you probably want to be in playoff position before those games, not hope that you're, you know, not put your season to the test against two potential spoilers that are not playing too poorly right now, right? The Rangers beat the Leafs the other day, and Ottawa's, you know, been decent as well.
It's safe to say it's a must-win game for Columbus against the Islanders on Tuesday. It should be a really good matchup. And yeah, I just have a feeling they're going to be in that position where they're going to have to win those games at the end of the year. There's something about that team, whether it's John Tortorella or Pierre-Luc Dubois being a little cold. Ryan Dzingel now has 2 points in his past game, which is good to see that him and Dubois broke out of that slump. That being said, I saw Matt Duchene's ice time, and that one was 13 minutes. You didn't pay that premium price for a player to play 13 minutes at this point in the season. The only thing that really Columbus has going for it in this game is the Islanders' power play will not score. It's 1-for-37 in the past 16 games, so maybe a little nod to Bobrovsky on that slate if you're a DFS player.
I mean, with Columbus, I just think, so they have been swept 4 games by the Philadelphia Flyers. So many lost points there. they are in danger. On Tuesday night, they play the Islanders at home. They've been shut out twice this year to the Islanders, and they've lost all three games. Could you imagine if they missed the playoffs by a point or two, and they go 0-8 against the Flyers and Islanders? I mean, that's your reason right there. I don't sense the best camaraderie in that locker room right now. There are a lot of potential UFAs. It's a difficult situation. I don't know if Tortorella is the right guy to get the most out of that group. And we're going to see. I mean, it's going to come down. I saw Kekalainen had a quote where he said, we're a bunch of individuals pulling in different directions. I don't really love that from a fantasy standpoint of the way.
Not a good quote to read from a fantasy perspective right now. It's all individuals going different directions. So watch out in Columbus.
One cool note pertaining to the waiver wire, though. We got something from the NHL stats crew here. So the top two players who were traded this season from February 20th on in terms of point production. So it's Ryan Donato, number one, with 15 and 16 games, and Kevin Hayes, who went from the Rangers to Winnipeg, 10 and 13 games. So a lot of those points have come in bunches for Kevin Hayes, but that's a line that you could really tap into right now. And from Patrick Laine's standpoint, is there really a chance, and I guess there is, with there's only 2 weeks left, that this guy might not hit 30 goals this year after that?
No, he's hitting. I mean, he could have Dairy Queen before every game and still score 30. This guy, the way that he shoots the puck, what is he at, 28, 29?
29, but he had five in one game earlier in the year.
I would wager a large sum of quarters that he will definitely hit 30 goals this season. And also, I mean, Kevin Hayes is the reason why he's going to hit 30. Kyle Connor looks like a 50-goal scorer with Kevin Hayes dishing the puck. One of those just has to go to Patrick Laine, and he's getting 3-0.
I know you asked me this earlier. I'm not so sold, but are they the team to beat in the West when they are fully healthy with Big Buff, with Ehlers healthy, Morrissey healthy if he comes back?
100%. And that is something I don't even have to think about. Reason why. Nashville. I think they're a little overrated. I think they're too heavy on defense. Look at it from a fantasy angle only. Their forwards aren't that good in fantasy. They're just flat out, they're not that good. But defenseman-wise, they have four or five guys that can get you category coverage any given week, any good stream on the back end. Their goalie this season, Pecorino, he's been good, but not great. Come playoff time, you need to be great. Their forwards need to be great. They're not. Meanwhile, you look at the Jets. Patrick Laine, the fact that he hasn't even hit his full potential this season, he could erupt almost at a goal per game in the playoffs. It wouldn't surprise anybody.
To me, the team to beat in the West is the team that came out of the West last year, Vegas. I think that the Sharks probably are not getting much sleep nowadays, knowing that they're almost certainly going to play Vegas in the first round. I think that Vegas would take down Calgary in the second round. And then if they're facing Nashville or Winnipeg, that's a piece of cake to me. They beat Winnipeg last year. I think that they're even stronger this year if they're fully healthy now with Stone and Pacioretty. So right now, I was big on the Sharks in the preseason. I'm probably going to take that pick back. We'll see. Let's touch base in a week or two, and I'll let you know how I feel about the Sharks. But right now, I'm leaning towards the Golden Knights in convincing fashion.
Right. 1 week ago, we were telling you how bad the Avs were. Now we're not sure what they are. So, yes, things do change quickly in a week. Let's touch base then. Let's spitball some games and players for Tuesday night slate here. Ducks at Canucks. I'm looking at Quinn Hughes. Keeping an eye on the name. I don't think he'll play in this game, but you need to have him in your lineup for fantasy championship week. If he's been skating, I saw some videos on Twitter. Looks good to go. I'm sure he'll play. If it's not, this game, it'll be later in the week. That's a must-own player for me rest of the season.
We have him in that deep joint league. We like the potential to have some power play exposure here down the stretch. Bo Horvat's having a really strong season. The Pettersson-Besser duo has been clicking lately. I know they got shut out on Sunday, but before that, that duo was looking really good. So, yeah, I agree. Quinn Hughes, get him in your lineup if he plays. Also, I mentioned him earlier, Jacob Silverberg, lineup lock across the board, standard league, deep league, DFS, get him in.
I'm going Habs here. I like Max Domi. We were giving him praises earlier for having 67 points this season. Nobody saw that eruption coming there. I love him against the Florida Panthers, who will be on the second of a back-to-back, most likely going with Luongo in that game. I think that's also a slam dunk for Carey Price if he gets the nod there. So Domi-Price connection, I would ride the Habs this week.
Yeah, I think the Boston Bruins really handed it to the Florida Panthers the other day. I see the Panthers bouncing back here. I like what that offense has provided. I like the bounce back appeal for that top line with Dadonov, Barkov, and Huberto, some of the most valuable players in fantasy over the past couple of weeks. And they can get it done even on the second of a back-to-back at Montreal. I don't really trust Montreal right now. Now, from the Islanders Blue Jackets standpoint, this is a game to target on either side. I mean, I know that one predicament that a lot of people are in, they might want to add a Josh Bailey or a Brock Nelson who have been producing lately, but it's not coming from the power play. This team has been dreadful for weeks now and really all season on the power play. They're one for their past 37. Do the Islanders get it clicking in time for the playoffs, or is this the thing that's going to derail them eventually?
Nope, another thing I don't have to think about. There's no way they have the talent to make that power play of any relevance. But no, Brock Nelson is a good add in season long still because he's not going to get PPPs, but he's going to get plus minus. They're one of the best even strength teams in the league. So I would take that plus minus in a championship week. That is a player dual eligible that I would consider picking up. For me, I'm going to the sleeper matchup of the night, Sabres at Senators. I really think there's a lot of untapped value in these games that are forgotten about. Player I'd keep an eye on, Brady Tkachuk, 3 goals and 12 hits. In his past 3 games, he's playing with a mean streak right now. I like that to continue against the Sabres. Really, Pete, is kind of honest as this is, that's all they've Senators have got right now. So that's the player, if you do like the Sens with a little road value or a little home value in this one, you got to have Brady Tkachuk in your lineup.
And DeMelo has, I think, a 4-game point streak. Shabbat's net back now. They're both playing on the power play a little bit together, a little bit separately. There's a Chris Tierney as well, but I agree. Tkachuk has been beast mode the past couple of games, racking up almost every category. Pierre-Luc Dubois, nice to see him finally show up for a game. He had 11 straight games without a point, had a multi-point game in that really, I mean, if they got swept on that West Canada road trip, you could just wrap a bow on the season. So at least they showed it in that game. Now let's see what Dubois can do down the stretch. Panarin is in a crazy goal drought right now, has had a couple assists here and there, but I think his goal drought is 10-plus games right now.
One last note, Zach Kassian, point streak alert going on, also has 10 hits in his past 2 games. It's ridiculous coverage. Is the Oilers a team that you do kind of want to chip in right now, even though they've got nothing to play for? I think there's value there.
It's tough because they keep changing that top line. I know Chiasson scored a goal and he was playing there. I mean, Kassian, if you need the category coverage, he's kind of like a worse version of Josh Anderson, where Anderson has been lighting it up, providing category coverage all year. He's going to be a stream. You might get a goal here or there from Kassian, but you're going to get the hits. You might get some shots. He's not a bad option.
You know what it is? It's a Sunday stream, where if you're down in the hits category, you do
Definitely.
Everything you can do to get Zach Kassian in your lineup, and you're probably winning your matchup.
Right, he's not the guy that you're going to add for 4 or 5 games in a week. You're going to add him when you get desperate, and he might deliver for you. We'll see how the Zach Kassian thing goes to close out the season. We like Brett Connolly, though. I mean, how many guys have produced 20-plus goals, 20-plus assists on a third line across the league? Not very many, and Brett Connolly's having a career year for the Caps.
He's scoring some pretty goals, too, and they might, if they get themselves into a comfortable spot, the Caps, his ice time might increase the final 2 weeks of the regular season, so get in on that right now. Slot him in, left wing, right wing, you get 2 positions there.
Oh, and one other thing I wanted to get to before we wrap up. Jonathan Toews, 8 points in his past 10 with 40 shots. I was watching that Avs-Hawks game. He had a couple of grade A scoring chances. This is a guy that I would spend up for in DFS, especially now that he's playing with Patrick Kane again. And Dylan Sakura is the third wheel on that line. Maybe some sneaky value there.
Cut the cord on Brendan Perlini. That hype train is over. It's left the station 4 games ago. He does not have a point in any of those 4 games. I would go as far to say get rid of Perlini and maybe take a flyer on Sakura. You're going to get that Toews exposure. If he's shooting the puck that much, he's going to get goals. Sakura is going to get assists.
And Alexander Nylander is another one of those guys. If you cut the cord on a McCann or a Perlini because of a recent slide, you know, you go with that with the games in hand and the in-house option. That makes a lot of sense with Sakura.
So that'll do it for us. Please get after it on iTunes. Give us a review, 5 stars. Leave a comment. Drop a line if you enjoyed the show.
Championship week. Best of luck to everybody in your season-long leagues as you get to the end of the line here. Hit us up on Twitter all week long the next 2 weeks. NHL Reese for Rob, NHL Jensen for myself. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday this week. Thanks so much for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.